What I like to do is have two wide margin Bibles. Now I have more Bibles than that. Most of us probably do. Dan, can you get me a glass of water, please, buddy? And in one of those wide margin Bibles, you can write your personal study notes when you're studying the Scripture. So you can mark it up, get a little ruler, 6-inch ruler that you can use to underline. I'm not one of those guys that just likes to do it freehand because I like the neatness of it. So get yourself a ruler, get yourself some pens designed for writing in books. What I recommend is a pen called a Pigma Micron. Sometime I'll have to show you one of these. Anybody have ever used a Pigma Micron pen? They come in all different colors. They got comes in different size tips. They're excellent for writing in the Bible. So I get one wide margin Bible for my own study, and then I'd get a wide margin Bible for taking notes in, listening to preaching. So you can give explanations of words, all that sort of stuff. If I was in your shoes, that's what I would do. You can look back years to come. I mean, you're welcome to keep all these handouts. I'd be obliged if you did. But if you want to condense it into your Bible, then you have a resource right there, just like having your own personal study Bible on the Scripture with lots of notes. And over the years, you're gonna accumulate quite a bit of stuff. Just because I say it doesn't mean it's right. You need to test it by God's Word to see if it is accurate. Thank you, Dan. But I found that helpful, and I think you will too. So, Ephesians 6 tonight, all right? Ephesians 6. What would you do if you were a preacher in the days when they didn't have PA systems and you're a Whitfield out there in the field preaching to 5 or 10,000 people? Maybe you just didn't sing in the song service, or you knew how to use your diaphragm properly so that you didn't lose your voice. All right, Ephesians 6. We're looking at what? Okay, I want you to look back at verse 21 because we might have forgotten where we came from. We're looking at how mutual submission works. He says in verse 21, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. How does mutual submission of believers work in the home setting, in relationships? He started, of course, with wives respectfully submitting to their husbands, husbands giving to their wives unconditional love. And now he's going to talk about the child's part in all of this. Children obeying. You kids may have been wondering, well, we've been talking about marriage for such a long time here. Did Pastor Michael or did the Holy Spirit, did Paul forget about us as kids? Absolutely not. He's got it right here for you. What are the kids' responsibilities? What's it going to look like, kids, when you put your parents' desires ahead of your own? Okay? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. And by the way, you don't have to be 10 years old to profit from this tonight, because the reality is that somebody brought you into this world and very possibly might be living to this day. So even if you're an adult, this is for you as well. Verse 1, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Let's pray together, and then kids, we'll talk about this passage together, okay? Lord, thank you that you don't forget about kids, that kids are very important to you. And when the children were being brought to you and your disciples wanted to send them away thinking that you had more important things to do, you said, allow the little kids to come to me because the kingdom of heaven is made up of people like these. So thank you that you love kids and you have a message for kids that's for their own good. Pray that we'd all get it, whether we're young or whether we're adults. In Jesus' name, amen. So there on your handout, I'm kind of working off a handout and my notes here, so if I miss something, I'll try and get it at the end. He says in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right." Now, this may be one of the first verses that you ever memorized or that your parents had you memorize. Carson can pretty much say this verse now, okay? Not a tough verse, not an uncommon verse, but one that is really important for you guys. So he says, "Children, you need to obey your parents." So number one, God expects a child to obey his parents. God expects a child to obey his parents. This is what he wants you to do. Now, let me ask you here. How much do you have to obey your parents? Do you have to obey them when you're having a good time watching a video and your mom comes in and says, the name that just popped into my mind is Bob. Do you mind if I use that name, Pastor Bob? All right. And says, "Bob, you need to go to your room and pick up your toys." And you're thinking, "But Mom, I'm watching a video." Does God expect you to obey your parents even then? I want you to go over to Colossians chapter 3. Hold your place here in Ephesians 6. Stick a finger in there and go over to Colossians 3. Paul tells us in Colossians 3, if we have to obey our parents in everything. Verse 20, he says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things," or "in everything, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." What does everything cover? Everything, anything and everything. Whether you like it or not, whether you're really ready to do it or not, whether you think it's going to be good or fun or enjoyable, he says, in everything. Kids, when is the one time God doesn't expect you to obey your parents? Anybody know? When's the one time God doesn't expect you to obey your parents? Okay, when they're asking you to do something that clearly would disobey God. So, for instance, if your parent said to you, and I doubt any of you parents have said this to your kids, but it's possible. If your parent said to you, "I do not want you to get baptized." Well, then you're kind of in a hard situation, because the Bible says I need to obey my parents, but God tells me I should be baptized to obey Him. Who do you obey? You obey God and you get baptized. Your obligation is to obey God. So, children must obey their parents in everything unless it goes against what God has said. He says, obey your parents. You guys in school, are you learning the difference between a singular and a plural noun? You know what that is? You know what a singular noun is? What would a singular noun be? A singular noun would be parent. Okay? A plural noun would be parents, meaning more than one. Plural means more than one. What word does Paul use here? A singular word or a plural word? Unless I can't read, he uses a plural word, doesn't he? He says parents. So what does that mean, kids? That means you have to obey both mom and dad. What sometimes happens is kids find it easier to obey one parent over another parent, because maybe one's more kind, one's more gentle, maybe one's more fun, maybe one parent lets me stay up later at night than the other one does. And so, yeah, it's easier to obey. God says you have to obey both of them the same. You can't say, "Well, because I like dad better, I'll obey what dad tells me to do, but I'm not going to obey mom because of whatever." He says you must obey both your parents, not just the one that maybe you like better or get along easier with. As a side note to parents here, it's not uncommon for parents to obey children. Someone wanted to put Carson in a little recreation program this fall. And so he's in a class one day a week, a little gym class. And so we're mixing with most people that we don't know. Most of them would be lost from what we can tell. And there's a child in the class. He's an interesting little fellow. A five-year-old, and his dad will try and ask the child to do something, or if the child isn't obeying, isn't staying in line when they're running around the gym, whatever the case may be, is being mean to another child, the dad will make a threat about how the child must obey. And if he doesn't obey, then there's going to be consequences. Or he'll say, you're going to have to sit out. And so he'll tell the child to go sit down. And you know what? The child doesn't listen to the dad. The dad listens to the child. The child decides, if I think this is a good idea, maybe the dad will have to come over and drag him with the arm. But we all know situations where parents obey the kids. And this dad has told me a couple times. I think he's aware that other people can tell there are issues. And he's mentioned to me a couple times kind of with a laugh. Kids listen to other people so much better than they do to their parents. Well, sometimes that's true. But God says, kids, obey your parents. So parents, the challenge here is we want to go for our kids' hearts. Okay? We're not just looking for external conformity. So the kid does what you ask them to do. Your teen meets the curfew, but on the inside, man, they're boiling. They can't stand it. We're not just looking for external conformity with no heart change. But the reality is, especially with young kids, is you have to make them see that they must obey and that you will not obey them. That when you tell them no, no means no. And when you tell them no, they're not to ask about it again. Right? So parents, you can be a help to your kids by not obeying them. But notice what he says, kids. He says obey whose parents? Little Johnny's down the street's parents? He says obey your parents. So this is actually a very good thing for you kids, elementary age, teen, because this provides protection for you because you don't have to listen to what every parent out there tells you. If your neighbor sees you walking down the road and says, hey kid, come here. I want you to take my trash out. Well, you may want to be a help to your neighbor, and you may decide that, well, I want to be a good testimony to Mr. Smith, so I'm going to take his trash out. I want to be kind. But the reality is you don't have to obey what he tells you to do. Why? Because he's not your parent, and unless he has some sort of authority relationship over you. So he says, your parents. And he tells us to obey our parents in the Lord. In the Lord. Before we look at in the Lord, I want to ask another question, the application questions. I guess I didn't explain that. I've got them on the same page, don't I? On the same page, application questions. Look at application question one. How long should a child obey his parents? Well, best I can tell, when you look at the teaching about the pastor in 1 Timothy 3, says that he must manage his household well, implying that as long as his kids are a part of his household, he's responsible for them. So I think, kids, what we can infer from Scripture, from understand from what the Bible teaches, is that you are responsible to obey your parents as long as you are in their household under their care. Okay, so you're living with mom and dad. They're paying the bills. They're putting food on the table. You are responsible to obey your parents. So, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. If you are in the Lord, what would that mean? If you are in the Lord, that means that you would be a believer. You would be, we run across the expression in 2 Corinthians 5, in Christ, if any man be in Christ, you're outside of Christ before salvation and you are believe into Christ, you're now joined together with Christ. It says that you are a believer if you're in the Lord. And as a believer, who do you have to obey? Well, your parents, obviously, but if you're in the Lord, that means that you are under God's authority. So you know what you have to do, kids, when you don't feel like obeying mom and dad? Or maybe they've been unkind to you earlier and you think, why should I have to obey them? They're not even obeying God right now. You do it because you're in the Lord. You are under God's authority. So no matter what your mom and dad do, as long as they're not asking you to violate God's word, you must honor that request. You must obey your parents for His sake. Let me ask you, why should you obey your parents? Okay, I've heard it a lot, Pastor Michael, but why should I obey my parents? Look at what he says in verse 1, kids. He says, because this is right. This is the right or the righteous thing to do. In other words, this is what God expects of you as a child. It's God's standard. It's the right thing for you to do. So, here's some application for all of us. Sometimes what God asks us to do doesn't make sense. All right, He tells me to obey my parents, and many of you came from homes where your parents were not godly individuals. You say, this doesn't make sense. God doesn't expect you to make sense of everything before you do it. He says, do it. Trust, believe me, have faith, and obey. He says, this is the right thing to do. So number one, God expects you to obey your parents. Secondly, God expects you to do more than just obey. What's the attitude here in our obedience? Ephesians 6 and verse 2 tells us, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So secondly, God expects you to honor your parents. So how do we honor our parents? Well, we can speak respectfully to them. I grew up down south in the States, and down south, they say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am a lot. And people even comment on it because I still do it to this day with people, and then they might say, yeah, I like that, or they might say, you don't have to call me that. Well, it's a habit. Whatever way you're going to express respect to your parents and the way you talk to them, you must speak respectfully to them. I would doubt none of you kids talk about your parents this way, but more the older generation. What's the typical expression for my dad? Well, my old man. Well, is that speaking respectfully? Is that honoring your dad? It says, be honoring them by speaking respectfully to them, and then also by speaking respectfully about them. Speaking respectfully about them. So, teens, when you're talking to one of your parents and your other parent isn't there, how do you talk about the other parent? Oh, Dad, he's just unreasonable. This is ridiculous. How do you talk about one parent when the other parent isn't there, or when you're with your friends in the car? Just a suggestion, parents, when you're speaking to one of your children and the other parent isn't there, do not let your child speak disrespectfully about the parent that's not there. Okay? You ensure as much as you possibly can that they will speak respectfully about their other parent, even when that other parent isn't there. And then I didn't give you letter A there. Esteem them in attitudes and actions. Esteem them in attitudes and actions. To value them because of the position of authority that God has given them. Value them. Consider them to be important. Not because they're perfect, but because God has put them in a position of authority over you. So, how can you dishonor your parents, kids? Or maybe something that we've done in our childhood. How can you dishonor your parents? Let's get some feedback here. How can you dishonor your parents? God commands us to honor them. Well, obviously we can dishonor them somehow. How can you dishonor your parents? Being disrespectful in what particular ways? I want to try and get down real practical here. Okay, yeah. So that would definitely be dishonoring, crossing over and in disobedience. Or your parents ask you to do something, you know, John, today is your day to sweep the house. Congratulations. Oh, brother. Hey, rolling your eyes. Oh, brother. You've got to be kidding me. Sally's mom. No, not you, Sally. These names just... I have a hard time picking out names of people that aren't here. Maybe it's just we have common names represented here. Sally's mom doesn't make her do chores on Saturday. She lets her play with her friends. Okay? What are some other ways we can dishonor our parents? Storming out of the room when they're talking to you or not looking at your mom and dad. Your parents ever tell you that? Look at me when I'm talking to you. When you don't look at them, what are you telling them? You're saying, what you have to say, mom and dad, isn't very important. Not as important as Smurfs or whatever's on TV here. Arguing with them. Maybe more the teenage years, arguing with them, raising your voice with them. Another way you can dishonor your parents is trying to get your parents to turn on each other. Well, I asked mom to do this, but she wouldn't let me, so let's go see what dad will say. And then you get them going at it, aha, I got exactly what I want. It's dishonoring. So those are some of the ways we can dishonor our parents. How can we honor our parents? How can we show honor to our parents? I am looking for feedback. Please tell me someone in this room knows how to honor their parents. Dan. Obey them? Okay, that's one way of doing it. You show honor to your parents by obeying them. And as you obey them, you do it with the right attitude. Okay? You may not have a big cheesy grin on your face, but you say, I can do this. The Lord wants me to do this. I can do this. How else can you show honor to your parents? Sarah? Yeah. Yeah. When they're giving you some advice, or they're saying, you know, I don't know if this is a good idea, you actually look at them and say, okay, Dan, I'll think about that. Thank you. I appreciate that. You listen to their advice. What else can you do? How about just telling them that you love them on occasion? Mom and Dad, I love you. I appreciate you. When you're away from the home and when you're out with friends, you know the requirements that mom and dad place on you as far as the family standards. You know a way you can show honor to your parents is by keeping the family standards. Even if your friend's mom lets him do something else, if your mom doesn't let you do that, then you don't do it. And that's a way to show honor to your parents. Asking for advice, seeking their counsel, these are all ways to honor and to show value to them because of the position that God has given them. And again, he says, your father and your mother. You have to honor both. You may find it easier to honor one because they're kind, more kind, but God says to honor them both. Let me ask you here. How can you show honor to your parents knowing that they sin? Did you know that, kids, that your parents sin? I'm sure this is a shock to you. You've never seen it before. But once in a while, they do in fact sin. Okay? Maybe more than once in a while. Okay? I know in my home, I sin more than once in a while. How do you obey someone who disobeys God sometimes? How do you show honor to someone who sometimes doesn't do things that are very honorable in God's eyes. How do you do that? Well, what you're going to have to do, kids, especially teenagers maybe, you're going to have to focus on your parents' strength. Just like for a wife who's supposed to respectfully submit to a husband that may be very dishonorable in the way that he lives, you will have to focus on their strengths. And one of the things that God has done for them, He's made them in God's image. Okay? So you can show honor to them because they're a human being made in God's image. And you must show respect. You should show respect to every human being because of that reason. But, you know, your mom or dad, they may get angry sometimes. They may talk harshly with you sometimes. You may see them disagree on something. So what do? Well, you try and focus on their strengths. You know, they may be unsaved. But yet he may be your dad, may be someone that works very hard and provides for you and provides money and maybe a savings so that you can even go to college. You focus on those sorts of things. Maybe they're generous. Maybe they don't do it for the right reason, but they're generous and they give. You focus on the strengths. Application question 3 there, okay? Let's get you adults engaged again. How long should a child honor his parents? How long should a child honor his parents? Obedience is as long as you're in their household, under their care. How long should a child honor his parents? As long as they're alive. Okay? As long as they are alive. Okay? And even beyond death, you can still continue to speak respectfully about them. Now let me challenge you adults here. Okay? You may be violating Ephesians 6:2 and not even realizing it because, well, I'm not in their home anymore. You know, I'm 2,000 miles away. And you can be dishonoring your parents by the way you speak about them, by your attitude towards them, even as an adult. God doesn't say to do it just if they're believers or not. He says, honor your parents. So, as long as your parents are alive. How do we know that? Well, when the Ten Commandments were given and the Fifth Commandment was given, who was there that day? The Israelites. Who was God talking to? Infants, toddlers, elementary age, junior high, senior high, college, singles, college and career, adults. He was talking to Israel there and he said, you honor your parents. The implication being, no matter how old you were as an Israelite, whether you were a teen or an adult, you honor your parents. And so honoring lasts as long as the parents are alive. But, like God so often does, He doesn't just give us a command to do and say, do it just because I told you to. That's a good reason to do it. But He tells us what will happen if we do. Look what He says. He says, this is the first commandment with a promise. I want you to flip to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 5. When Moses was reminding the people of the Ten Commandments here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 says, honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. And so Paul quotes this here in Ephesians chapter 6, and he says, this is the first commandment with a promise. Of the Ten Commandments, this is the first one that would contain a promise. The second commandment has a warning and then an explanation and a promise. This is the first commandment that has a promise there attached to it. That if you keep this commandment, kids, whether you're a teen, elementary age, or an adult, if you keep this commandment, he says, there's a result of obeying and honoring your parents. And that result, found in verse 3 and in verse 16 here, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. What does it mean that it'll go well with you? It means you'll prosper. You'll be blessed by God. And that you will live long on the earth. So there's a great blessing in keeping this command. Doesn't this kind of sound like the book of Proverbs? Remember our study from Proverbs? Flip over to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, okay? Proverbs 20. We're almost done here. You're doing a great job. Proverbs 20 and verse 20. It says, "He who curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in the time of darkness." Now, he's not saying here that if you say bad things about your parents, your nightlight is going to go out tonight in the middle of the night and you're going to wake up scared. The lamp here refers to your life. It's a metaphor for your life. He says, if you curse your father and mother, your lamp, your life will go out in time of darkness. It will be extinguished. Proverbs 10:27, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." Now, he's not saying that every person that honors their parents lives to be 95. But the general principle is, in Proverbs as well, that if you obey, you honor your parents, you're going to have a blessed, long, fulfilling life. That's what God says. Who doesn't want that? But there's a cost associated with it. Am I willing to obey and honor my parents? So he offers a promise of blessing. The blessing is a long and prosperous life. And you may say, "Pastor Michael, this sounds really good and I want to do it, but it's hard because my parents aren't perfect." Or maybe you look back on your childhood and you think, "You know, Mom and Dad, they made so many mistakes. They did so many things wrong. They hurt me this way." How do you obey someone that you may be more godly than? How do you obey someone that you may be more godly than? Probably some of you, when you were growing up, you were more godly than your parents. I wasn't. I had a home where my parents were very godly, but some of you grew up in homes where you were more godly than your parents. And God says, obey them. How do we do that? In conclusion, I want you to go over to Luke chapter 2, okay? Luke chapter 2. Could God really expect me to obey someone who's not perfect and maybe not even as godly as I am, maybe even unsaved? Luke 2. Luke 2 and verse 51. Remember, Jesus visited Jerusalem with his parents and they left and didn't realize that he was with them. They came back and found him. And he went with them. And verse 51 says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth," okay, where they lived, the city of Nazareth. "And he," Jesus, "continued in subjection to them." So here you have someone submitting to people that were not nearly as godly as he was. Christ was a young boy here at this point. And yet it says he submitted to his parents. He continued in subjection to them. Christ submitted to his imperfect parents. You know why? Because that pleased God. So your goal, children, should be to perfectly obey imperfect parents. Now, you won't do it perfectly, but that should be your goal. I want to perfectly obey imperfect parents. Do you know what it was like when Paul was writing Ephesians 6? Do you know what it was like in Roman culture? Dads could do whatever they wanted to their kids. They could sell them as a slave. Okay? They could put them to death. They could do whatever they wanted to in Roman culture to their kids. One man writes that when a baby was born, it was placed before its father. So they brought the baby after it was born, put it before its father. The father stooped down and lifted the child. The child was accepted and raised as his. So he decided, "Yeah, I like this child. I want to keep him." If the father turned away, saw the child, and then turned away, the child was rejected and literally discarded. What would they do with these little babies? It says, rejected children were either left to die or they were picked up by those who trafficked in infants. Okay, human trafficking is not a new phenomenon. These people raised children, the people who picked them up and trafficked in infants. These people raised these children to be slaves or to stock the brothels. So, what did Christianity do for kids? It revolutionized things. It gave them a whole new status as made in the image of God. Yes, you still have to obey, but as we'll see next week, it puts some obligations on the dads, and the obligation is don't provoke your kids to wrath. Do you think selling your kid into slavery would provoke your kid to wrath? Probably so. And so, folks, just like Christianity did with the status of women, it was such a blessing to children. And that's what I want to communicate to you kids, is that God's not doing this because He's mean and because He wants to try and make your life miserable and give you imperfect parents and then tell you to perfectly obey them. He's not doing this to hurt you, kids. He's doing this because this is good for you. This is what you need. It's a protection. It's a blessing for you. And He says, if you'll do this, then you'll have a long, blessed, and wonderful life. Doesn't mean your life will be easy, but it'll be blessed by God. So that little verse that your parents have you memorize, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a verse that you need to understand and you need to obey it. And even when it's hard, and even when it doesn't seem to make sense and you don't understand maybe why God gave you the parents that He gave you, He says, this is for your good. And if you do it, I'll reward you. Let's pray. Maybe there's some adults who have not honored their parents in the way they have spoken to them, about them, the way they have treated them. God expects you to honor those parents as long as they're alive. You may need to get on the phone this week and call them up and say, Mom and Dad, will you forgive me? I have not honored you. Or maybe you need to go back to instances that happened in your childhood and say, Mom and Dad, I did not honor you back then. I know it was wrong and I want you to forgive me. Our young kids here, teenagers on down, this is for your good. God does it for your good, not to hurt you. So like the song says, you just need to trust and obey. With God's help, try and perfectly obey imperfect parents. And God will bless you for it. Lord, thank you that your heart towards us is so big that you would never tell us to do anything that was for our harm. And when you tell us to obey and to honor our parents, it's good for us. Help us to do it because we want to please you, but thank you that as we do it, you'll bless us and you'll reward it. In Jesus' name, amen.